Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, open to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, as we look at the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13. When I came to Marshall County to pastor the Hardin Baptist Church, I was 22 years of age. As I began to visit homes in Marshall County. Now, I'm not saying this wasn't true of people in Callaway County from where I came, but it didn't take me long to realize this truth. In this area, people are loyal, dogmatically loyal to two things. Not saying only two things, but to these two things. It became evident to me that people in Western Kentucky, especially Marshall and Callaway County, are first loyal to their church. And when I say church, I'm talking about their church denomination. How many of you have defended vehemently being a Baptist? People defend being a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Church of Christ or a Catholic. But the second thing that I found that people were really dogmatically loyal to was their political affiliation. Not just their church denomination, but their political party. I can't tell you how many people would share with me right off the bat when they first met me, I hadn't been in their home 5 minutes, that they would let me know whether or not they were a Democrat or they were a Republican. I can't tell you how many people on both sides of the aisle made sure as a young preacher that I understood it was not my place to ever meddle in politics. So with that in mind, I approach this passage with a little fear and trembling. Because if you've been reading ahead of us, you know that when we come to Romans chapter 13, Paul's not only going to talk about our relationship to God, our relationship to ourself, our relationship to the body of Christ, our relationship to those outside the body of Christ, but he's also going to talk about a Christian's responsibility to his government. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, I want to be clear. I don't know if this will be the only sermon or if we'll approach this for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We just don't for sure know how long we're going to stay on these verses. But please hear this. This morning we're going to speak about this passage in general, because that's what this passage does. In the next few weeks, or sometime in the near future, we will come back and talk about what this passage teaches specifically as Christian citizens in a democratic society. But let me just say this to you this morning. I am not affiliated with a donkey or an elephant. I am a man who's affiliated with the Lamb of God. I'm the party of the Lamb, both politically and religiously. Please understand, I have no agenda this morning. As best I can, this message will not be philosophical at all. Hopefully, only theological. If you disagree with me, please, before you lamb blast me on Facebook, or you talk about me on Twitter, or you leave a terrible voicemail on my phone, please call me and talk to me personally. I would love for you to buy me a burger and let's talk about where we disagree. You can even pick the place. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. I want us to listen to this with fresh ears. I want us to see this with fresh eyes. Because Paul spends a lot of time talking about you and I and our responsibility to the government that is over us. Verse 1 says, ESV version, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Listen to this. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Paul is not the first person in Scripture to address a follower of Christ and his responsibility to the governing authority. If you'll remember, the Pharisees with the Herodians sent some of their disciples to Jesus to entangle him, to trick him. And they asked him whether or not it was lawful to pay taxes. Now, Jesus knew, no matter what he said, it was going to cause disruption in some people's mind. So Jesus, being Jesus, he just had a way of teaching. He asked for a coin. And if you remember in Matthew chapter 22, as he's holding that coin in front of these disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians, he asked them whose picture's on the coin. It was a denarii. And they said Caesar. Remember what Jesus said? Then render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Now on the back of the denarii, in many parts of the Roman Empire, was the picture of a god or a false goddess. So the Roman citizens knew that on the backside of that coin there was the picture of a god. So we don't know whether or not Jesus turned that coin over or not. But he knew there was an other side of the story. And then he said, and render to God what's God. Notice what Jesus did. He didn't pit religion against politics. But he reminded his followers, as they heard him talk to these followers of the Herodians and the Pharisees who were trying to trick him, that as followers of Christ living in this world, we are citizens of two worlds. And here on this planet, you and I are citizens of an earthly state, an earthly country, an earthly kingdom. And we're to have a loyalty to that kingdom. And at the same time, we're to remember that we're not only creatures of this world, but we are other world creatures. That we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and therefore we have a responsibility not only to our earthly government, but we have a responsibility to God. Paul, as you and I know, was discipled by the Lord in the desert of Arabia for 3 years after his conversion. Paul makes it clear in his writings that he did not get his teaching, he did not get his education from man, but from the Lord. Here, Paul gives us an in-depth treatment of our responsibility as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to our government. Now I want to remind you of the context. The context here is the Roman Empire was not a democratic country. The man who sat on the throne at this time considered himself God. If you were a citizen of Rome, at any time you could be called upon to declare, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is your sovereign. And to the church in Rome, capital city of the Roman Empire. It had been considered the capital of the world at this time. The equivalent we would have today would be this. It would be a pastor speaking to the church in Washington, D.C. You remember when the Cold War was going on? You turned on the television, they would talk about life in Moscow and they'd talk about life in Washington, D.C. And many times they weren't talking about just those two cities, but those cities stood for two different nations. One the capital of Russia, the other the capital of the United States. Paul's writing to Christians who are living in the capital city of the world, and he says this to them. Every person is to be in submission to the governing authorities. Wow. Here is a principle that God teaches. Christians, no matter what type of government they are living under, are to be a people who submit to their governing authorities. The word submit here is the Greek word hupotasso, meaning to be under, and then tasso means to arrange in order. So here's what this word means. We are to submit, we are to bring ourselves under those who have been placed over us so that there can be order in our midst. It was a word that was used in the military. You know that in the military we consider all people equal, yet at the same time we consider all people different. There is rank in the military. Why is there rank in the military? Because there must be different responsibilities. So that when that army moves into war, there will be order and not chaos so that they can accomplish their objective. And so because of that, the military is a system in every country of authority, and everyone knows who's over them. And everyone knows who's under them. And the military is set up so that when they move in order. That's why we love, I think, to look at our teaching institutions in the military and watch them do those drills. How you can get that many people in step, doing the same time, at the same thing, and then switch on a command is amazing. And that's the picture here. Please understand this. God has ordained you and I submit to our government officials for this purpose, so that there will be order in our society and not chaos in our society. Now, this word governing authorities is two words. The first word government means those placed in high positions, those who have been elevated above. And the word for authority here, there's two prime words used in the Bible for authority or power. The word that's used here is the word exousia, and it literally means this: to bear the right to tell. To bear the right to tell. Our government officials, according to God, have the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. That's important. But this word also has a second characteristic, and here's the second characteristic. The second characteristic is that government authority not only has the right to tell its citizens what to do and what not to do, but they have the right to enforce the people to do what they're told to do and not to do what they're told not to do. Are we clear? As a citizen of a heavenly kingdom, God tells each one of us, not part of us, but all of us, that every person in that country, Christian or non-Christian, Christians included, are to generally submit to those who've been placed over them. And for us to understand the reason they've been placed over us is so that there will be order in our society and not chaos in our society. And then he reminds us of this. That authority, government authority, has been ordained by God. He tells us in a negative way, and then he tells us in a positive way that God has ordained authority. Why? Why has God ordained that in societies of people, there be people over people who have the right to tell the people how they should live and how they should not live? It's because of this. It's because God knows what's at the core of mankind. And it's not good. God knows that without proper authority among societies of people, you would have total chaos and not order. If you want proof of this, you don't have to turn on your modern TV. You can, but you can go back and read the Old Testament book of Judges. Have any of you read Judges lately? Judges 17:6 tells us that there was no king in Israel, and what did the people do? They did what was right in their own eyes. Matter of fact, the last verse of Judges, Judges chapter 21, says there was no king in Israel and the people did what was right in their own eyes. Now this next statement is not a political statement. It's a statement about God ordaining order in society and not chaos. And the way God keeps order in society is through government officials. Do you remember what happened when our government toppled the government of Saddam Hussein? We all watched on TV, and here's what I think we thought. I think we thought that when we did that, there was going to be celebration, there was going to be jubilation in the streets, everybody was going to hug everybody, and everybody in Iraq was going to lay down and live peaceably ever after because the problem was Saddam Hussein. Now tell me what happened when we toppled Saddam Hussein. What happened? Total chaos in Baghdad. Amen? The leading museum in Baghdad that holds most of our biblical artifacts, you realize this, right, was absolutely ransacked. Everybody in that city, once authority was toppled, did what was right in his own eyes and felt like had the right to take what belonged to other people. Exactly what happened in the book of Judges, except the book of Judges doesn't talk about Iraqi people or Iranian people or American people or Chinese people or Russian people or English people or French people. It talks about God's chosen people of the Old Testament who had been given the special revelation of God's law through Moses. And when there was not proper authority, did those people follow the law of Moses? Absolutely not. They did what was right in their own eyes. And here's what we've got to understand as Christian citizens. Whether we agree with our government or not, God has decreed that as a nation of people, all nations of people need government officials. And those government officials, the government itself, the people in authority, not every act of the people in authority, but authority itself has been ordained by God. Amen? And then he tells us this. Government officials and government itself is not a terror to good, but a terror to bad. Why? Because they are God's servants. I want us to change a concept we have in the church in America. I think we view people who hold elected offices, we call them public servants. Amen? Amen? I don't think that's right. We are fortunate in this nation to get to elect those who hold office over us. Amen. We are fortunate to get to elect the people who determine the laws of what we should do and what we should not do. But they are not public servants. They are God's servants. Three times the Bible calls them God's servants. And Paul uses two different words. The first word that Paul uses for servant is the word deacon. Diakonos. To have dirty feet, to wait tables. God has put people in government positions so that those people can be His servants, His deacons, if I can say that. Not in the church, but in society at large. God is not just concerned about life in the church. God is concerned about life in society. And just as God has ordained authority in the church, He's also ordained authority in the nation. And here's what's amazing to me. One of the very words that Paul uses to talk about one of the ordained offices in the church is the same word he uses to talk about public officials. So when we look at our elected officials, or if we were living in a country that was communist, we have to have the attitude toward those people that they've been placed there by God and they are God's servants. They are God's waiters. They are God's waitresses for our good. Does that make sense? How many of you talk about the deacons of this church? Can I just see a show of hands in a bad way? Come on, how many of you lambast those guys, slander those guys? Any of you? How many of you slander our president? How many of you slander our Congress? How many of you slander our representatives? How many of you slander our judges? How many of you slander our sheriff's office? God help us when we're more loyal to a party than we are the government that God has ordained. These people are not our servants. They are God's servants. And they're here to encourage good, not bad. Paul says, therefore, as a Christian... Now listen, he's writing to Christians living in Rome under the Roman government. Nero's coming to the throne shortly. And Paul's going to tell them there's no need to fear authority if you're doing what authority tells you to do. Amen? So if you don't want to fear your government, just follow the law. Kind of like me. I do not fear police officers. Matter of fact, used to. I don't go there as much as I used to, but I used to love to eat lunch at Polly Eyes, and when I'd eat lunch at Polly Eyes, there'd be three state troopers. I don't know how they worked it out, but they'd always be in Polly Eyes eating at the time I was eating. I never feared those guys. They were packing heat. I never feared those guys. You know why I didn't fear those guys? Because I'm not breaking the law. But let me tell you, when I do fear those state troopers is when I'm driving down the highway and the speed limit's 65 and I'm doing 82. I am fearful. Now, you know I really don't do that. But if I did do that, I'd be fearful. Why? Because I'm breaking the law. Now, here's what Paul teaches us in this passage. That government has been ordained by God to actually promote and reward good and to restrain and punish evil. For they are God's ministers. They are God's servants. Listen to this. They are God's avengers. They carry out God's wrath. Now, I want to say this on the side of government, because there's many of us in here who are on the government side of this. In everything you do, you're to be encouraging people to be better. And in everything you do, you're to be discouraging people from being worse or sinful or to bring chaos into society. And here's what you need to remember. You are God's avenger. And here's what Paul reminds us of. That the government does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, our state police pack heat. You know why they pack heat? Because if you resist them, they have the right to make you follow the law. Amen? So you got to remember, in the biblical world, to bear the sword is to pack heat. It's to bear a gun. It's the right to carry that stick they carry. When you break the law, they have the right to enforce the law. Now here's what we need to remember about government. Now this is a general principle, and I know it's going to raise specific questions, but not this morning. It's not the purpose of the sermon. I think this passage is put in the book of Romans because Paul's just told us as individuals, we do not have the right to take the law into our own hands. Everybody agree? No matter what happens to me, listen to me. No matter what might happen to my wife, or to my son, or to my daughter, or to my neighbor, or to me, I never have the right to take the law into my own hands. And you don't either. But God has ordained there to be a payday for sin on this earth, not just in eternity. And the people who carry out God's wrath on evildoers is the government. God has ordained government officials to have the right to do what individuals do not have the right to do, and that's be an avenger of God's wrath. Amen? You understand that. Now, and I want to say this. I know this is going to be controversial, but I believe it to be the truth of Scripture. So this is not philosophical. This is not political. This is theological. And you say whatever you want to say, but you're wrong. It is the church and individuals who, in treating evildoers, are to treat those evildoers redemptively and to pour hot burning coals on their head so that there can be a change of attitude and a change of heart. Amen? That is not the government's responsibility. And even in a Christian nation, in a democratic country, our government is not in the redeeming business. The church is in the redeeming business. Christians are in the redeeming business. We're the only ones who know how to redeem. The government is in the punishing business. They're in the punitive business. Do you understand this? Please be careful when you try to impose your and I try to impose my philosophical thoughts on how government should be on God. Because it's not the United States who ordained government. God ordained government. Government, like marriage, can't be altered because of what man believes at the moment. Government is not a pragmatic solution to man's sinfulness. God had man's sinfulness in mind when He instituted government. And we can't change this. Do you understand this? God has given the state the right to bear the sword. And when our government judges people, they are executing God's wrath. They are doing what God wants done. Why? So that there be order in society and not chaos in society. State of Illinois has just decided that capital punishment is wrong. I'd hate to be that legislature standing before God one day, when God is the very one who said, you take a man's life, you forfeit your own life. Jesus warned Peter in the garden, if you take up that sword and you fight for me, the government's going to take their sword and kill you. Amen? If you think the sword right now in defending me is the answer to this moment's situation, Peter, just beware. Those who live by the sword, die by the sword. Paul himself, Acts chapter 25, realized that he was being accused of a capital crime, and every one time tried to stop the capital crime, but said, if I'm worthy of death, then kill me. Because he knew the state had the authority to execute justice with the sword. Authority to government has been given to the government by God. Now here's the flip side. If you're in government, you better get this out of your head, that it's your responsibility to impose your philosophical belief on a nation of people, and you better be seeking God's will and who God is. And you better be setting up your government to portray who you really are. And that's a deacon of God. You hold the deacons of this church to a high standard. You hold me as a pastor to a high standard. You should. And you should hold your government officials to the same standard you hold me to. Are you listening to me? What you would not let me get by with in my life, how dare we let our government officials get by in their life? The Bible never tells us they are public servants. The Bible tells us they are God's servants. So a man should feel a call from God before he ever takes a place, a position where he's been elevated over other people, and he has the right of the sword to enforce what he tells people is right and what's wrong. Amen? Therefore, he says, do not resist. Because when you resist government, you resist God. Here's what's amazing to me. The word resist in the Greek language, remember what I said the word for submit is? It's the Greek word hupotasso. Guess what the Greek word for resist is? It's antitasso. Same word. Boy, the Greeks would have picked up on this. We lose it in English. Paul just said, bring yourself under for order. When you resist, you stand against order and you bring chaos. Tell me what's happening around the world today. Total chaos because of corrupt government and lack of respect for government. It does not lead people to do the right thing. It leads people to do the wrong thing. That's why God teaches us an important principle that we've got to understand in the church, and that's man outside of Christ is not good. He is sinful. He is evil. He is self-centered. And he will take advantage of the situation and work the situation for himself the same way a lost man will do in a position of government power. He will not consider himself to be God's servant, but he'll work that situation for his own power. But here's what Paul tells us. Don't resist. Don't rebel. Hang in there. God's ordained order, not chaos. And then he tells us this. Yes, I pay taxes. And yes, you pay taxes. You know why you pay taxes? Because we're supposed to pay taxes. Not because the government tells us to pay taxes, but because God tells us to pay taxes. Yes, April 15th has been ordained by God. I mean, He probably don't care what day we collect our taxes. But here's a principle we've got to remember. God Himself has ordained that there be people who look out for the good of the society. And it's a full-time job. And because it's a full-time job, these guys deserve to be paid. They deserve salaries so that they can focus their attention on what government ought to be focusing its attention on. Now, according to Paul in Romans chapter 13, what is the purpose of our taxes? The purpose of our taxes is to support the people who work for God. And that's why we pay taxes gladly. You understand that principle? If I could teach politics from a biblical viewpoint, I would want to remind government of this. You receive taxes and revenue and honor and respect from your people because you've been ordained for one purpose by God, and that one purpose is to keep order in society. And that's the reason you bear the sword. Listen to me. God never ordained government to impose its philosophical beliefs on society. You understand that? I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're a Republican, I don't care if you're an independent. It is not God's intention for government to ordain its philosophical opinion on its people. God set up government so that there'd be order in society. And we pay our government officials to have the right to pack heat. And to make laws to keep order. And so that there will not be disorder. And we need to be careful. When we're God's public deacons, we're God's public ministers, who He's put in place for the good of the society, and we take responsibilities on ourselves that was never given to us by God. Amen? So what should we do? We should pray. Just like you pray for me and just like you pray for your deacons, you ought to be praying for our president. And get over what party he belongs to. You pray for him as one of God's servants. And you pray for Congress. Not for which side of the aisle they sit on, but because they're God's servants. And you pray for our county officials, and you pray for our state officials, and we need to pray for our county officials. And we need to pray for those people who believe they're ministers of God, keeping order in society, so that we as a society can be better. And they're a terror to those who do evil. And those people who do evil fear to see those men and women in uniform. Because they understand that what they're doing may be right in their own eyes, but it's not right in the eyes of society. Therefore, it will not be tolerated. You and I as Christians, we set the example. We are to be the best citizens in the land, no matter if we're under a Democratic government, whether there's a Republican president, or a Democratic president, or an independent president, or whether we're in a communist country, or whether we're in a socialist country, or whether we're in a country where there's a total dictatorship. We are the people
who by our behavior and by our politics reveal to the world what God's true plan for government is. And it's for the betterment of society. And to be a terror to the lawbreaker. And the lawbreaker needs to know God's given government the right to execute judgment. And when they execute judgment, they do it on His behalf. They are a minister of Him. Let's pray. Father, You know how we've prayed. Father, You know how You placed Romans 13, 1 through 7 on the lips of the Apostle Paul. You, and by Your Spirit, inspired him to write what he wrote. And yet this is a passage that most of us as believers, we don't know. We don't study. We actually believe that You've given societies, You've given people the right to decide how they want to be governed and what they want that government to look like. And never realize that government, just like marriage, government, just like the church, has been set up by You and it's been ordained by You and it's been given authority by You. And You tell us that government officials are not public servants, they're Your servants. And Father, we know from the history of the Bible, from the history of the Old Testament, that You even use pagan kings, pagan governments, to keep order in their societies. And Father, You even use pagan governments, kings like Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Shalmaneser the Third, Tiglath-Pileser from the Assyrian Empire. You even use those governments to bring Your people Israel into line. And oh, what a shock that was to the nation of Israel. Father, Nebuchadnezzar made it really clear after You humbled him that You are the one who choose to set people over people. And Father, You know what it takes to keep societies of people in order. And Father, You know how important order is to society, not chaos. Please help us in the church, in America, especially in Marshall and Callaway County, understand why we pay our taxes. Understand why we support our government. Understand why we pray. It's because these people are Your people. And You use them for our good. I think that's why we call them public servants, God, is because we know they're there for us. But what we fail to realize is they're there for us because You thought enough of us to give us authority. Father, I pray that these people know Me enough to know this message is not political, but it's theological. But in being theological, You do not leave politics, government up to men outside the church. But You tell us in Your Word how You've set it up and how we as the church ought to react to it. And unless pastors and Sunday school teachers teach what Your Word says, we'll try to have a separation between our church life and our political life. And we'll think the two cannot exist together. And Jesus and Paul both told us they do exist together. Because you can't separate church and state. Because the church is ordained of You and the government's ordained of You and they both have a purpose, not the same purpose. The church is to be redemptive. The government is to be punitive. And the government
is to make laws where there be order so that we can be better. Father, please help us take our citizenship, earthly and heavenly, very seriously. Don't let us sit on the sidelines. Let us be actively involved. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.